Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me today. We are back into our series focusing on Palestine and the crisis, the ongoing catastrophe and humanitarian disaster that just seems to worsen every single day. And I'm glad to have had a number of lawyers on who commented on the legal action that was taken against Israel, several legal actions, and I hope you find those episodes really informative. We received really great feedback on all of those, and I am delighted that my guests were able to join me to talk about a very difficult subject. Some of them were impacted directly by what's going on. Today I'm speaking to Khaled Guzmar, who is the General Director of Defence for Children International Palestine. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. So we've been in touch a little bit, and I know your schedule has been absolutely hectic, but we'll get into, I guess, some of the areas that we focused on, and just stemming on, I suppose, from the discussion we've had in terms of the legal case of South Africa against Israel. I know you attended that in the ICJ, but just looking at the figures as well, just using it as a point of reference, going back to the figures that they relied on in terms of what we're going to talk about today, which is children primarily, and the injuries and the killing of the children throughout the territories of Palestine, a very difficult subject to talk about. And the figures are absolutely startling. Back in the ICJ, the figures that were presented were 7,729 children at that point on the 11th of December had been killed by Israel, with an estimated 4,700 children missing or believed to have been buried under the rubble. Again, breathtaking figures, deeply upsetting, but these have drastically, drastically increased since then. I think there's more children killed in Gaza in the past 4 months than there have been in the past 4 years in worldwide wars. So, Khaled, I guess my first question is, why are children bearing the brunt of this aggression, and why are their rights so extensively violated throughout all of this?
Thank you very much for raising this very important case. Back to the children's rights in the occupied Palestinian territory is systematically violated. The fundamental rights of the children are violated by the Israeli occupation widespread and continuously. But what is new, and I consider it unprecedented before, not myself only, but all or any organization, international organization who work in Palestine, the occupied territory, NGOs, international NGOs, also they have the same conclusion that what is happening is unprecedented before. Usually we used to document the main violation like the killing, maiming, right to education, right to health, but now we are unable to document. We are unable even to control the number of the victims of the killing. So yes, the first 3 months, the number was 7,000 Palestinian children killed, in addition to maybe more than 14,000 who are seriously injured. Now we are talking, after 5 months, we are talking about 13,500 children killed. So the killing is continuous, while everything is going in the international level normal. So today, I came just a few minutes ago from the Human Rights Council. I participated in a science event with the head of the Child Rights Committee, with the special representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations for Children Armed Conflict. So, unfortunately, still they are talking about theory about children. Children are not numbers. Children are human beings. Each child is a big story with a big hope, with dreams. So it's unbelievable why the international community kept silent against these crimes. Yeah. And I can conclude it by saying that the international community, the international system now is in a test. Mm-hmm. The international community, international system is failed, yeah, to provide a child with a cup of water to keep him survive.
Yeah.
They failed to feed the child with a piece of bread to keep him alive. So unfortunately, this is where we are now.
Yeah.
And then children are paying the price of this conflict and this ongoing occupation and ongoing genocide.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And as you said, each child has their own value, their own lives. And we do talk about figures. The figures are so difficult to get your head around. But we have to remember that these children are independent lives. And I mean, we've got to see insights into some of their families that have been shown, obviously, throughout social media. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. But you, of course, have been working with Palestinian children for decades. This didn't start, as we know, on the 7th of October. But you have witnessed and dealt with children throughout several massacres, many massacres, the ongoing siege of Gaza, and throughout the violence perpetrated by Israel on children across the occupied territories for decades. Children were already experiencing severe trauma on many levels. So the question and the concern I guess we all have is, how are these children, their families who survive, ever going to be able to recover? And I appreciate you're a lawyer, but you work very closely with the families. How will they recover? And how has the current aggression, I suppose it's the next question, impacted your work with children and their families in Palestine? I mean, you've already said you can't keep up with the numbers.
Thank you very much. Also, this question is very, very important question. And both us in our responsibility, how we can contribute to create the change for the life of the Palestinian children. So first of all, children in Gaza are subject to a genocide started in the 7th of October. And in the West Bank, in the same time, they are also subject to ongoing attacks and killing. So war crimes, crimes against humanity are committed in against them in the West Bank. But when we compare the numbers, unfortunately, we will back to the numbers. So Gaza is the main priority now to take an action, to stop the killing. So now we are talking about 2,300,000 Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Among them, the highest percentage of children around the world, it's about 47% of the population in Gaza are children under the age of 18. So now we are talking about 100,000 even more. So they are, in the past, the percentage of the children who've been subject to be killed or attacked by the Israelis, they've been around 20%. This genocide, they are more than 40% of the victims are children. This is why the number is now become increasing more and more, more than now 13,500 children killed. So those who are killed, but when you talk about those who are injured, the number is doubled. Yeah. And still under the rubble, more than 8,000 Palestinian bodies since months. So at least 40% or even more are children. Those who are not subject to be killed, not subject to be injured, they are homeless. Their houses are demolished, and then more than 70% of the houses in Gaza is partially or completely damaged or bombed by the Israeli army. So there is no way, they are living in the streets in tents. Even that, from the first days of the aggression, the second day of the 7th of October, the 8th or 9th of October, the Israeli political leaders declared a war against Gaza. And the Prime Minister, the Minister of Defense was so clear, Mr. Gallant. He, in the TV, in front of all over the world, and he started to say that, since from the moment, no electricity, no food, no water, no fuel, no medical treatment. So what he's saying in front of the world, he is confessing that he is committing the genocide. Yeah. So the soldiers, they took the message as a warrant to do what they would like to do. This is why we start to see actions, even from the soldiers themselves. They are killing and destroying and sharing it by the videos that they are heroes. They are doing a very good job. Even the Israeli Minister of Finance, He declared that there is no innocent in Gaza.
Yeah.
Even children under from the age of 4, they are terrorists.
Terrorists. So yeah.
Where we are.
It's absolutely.
So this is why, in addition to all of that, we are talking about the huge number of the children who are in Gaza, subject to ongoing, each minute they are under the attack, under a bombing from the Israel. So those, I am not a psychologist,
yeah.
But I know what the meaning of being in each second, expect that you will be killed, your house will be damaged, even the tent, even now the massacre happened where? Happened after the Israeli agreed to give the international organization to bring humanitarian aid to the civilians. While they've been waiting for the aid, they bombed them, they shot and killed just yesterday. This is the 20th time happened that they killed 10 civilians in addition to maybe 50 or more injured. So it's like back while I was a child, we used to hunt bears. Mm-hmm. So we used to put the food, and when the bears come to hunt him. Now they are doing with the people like this.
Yeah.
They give them the food, and then they hunt them and they kill them. And why the international community is still silent about that? Very few initiatives, brave initiatives came from international states, from like in Ireland, in Belgium, in Norway. But unfortunately,
it's not
still
enough.
The main, what we call it, the main states, the colonial states in the West are still supporting and feeding Israel with more and more arms.
Of course they are. And I mean, the bombardment is relentless. But what we're witnessing here that we've never seen in our lifetime is starvation being used as a weapon of war. And it's clear that this is a war crime. It's clear. So, I mean, the treatment of Palestinian children could and should qualify as a clear violation of international law and breaches the provisions of several humanitarian conventions. Of course, South Africa had raised this clearly in their ICJ case, proposing that the treatment of and the violence against children constitutes genocide. It's part of their argument. You've touched on this, I mean, but just to be more specific, how confident are you going forward, and have you been, and how are Palestinians feeling about the international protection for children of Palestine? Governments have failed. I think it's very clear, and although you mentioned there has been some small action taken by a number of governments, it's too little and too late. I mean, have they failed in their duty to protect the rights of children during this aggression? They have done so even before this aggression began. But what are you feeling? Is there any hope, the attention that the ICJ gets and some of the legal action, that this will start to turn governments around so that they can at least stop arming Israel, for example, and stop being such allies to this genocide?
Again, thank you for the question. First of all, yes, since we are talking about genocide, our reference is the Convention Against Genocide. And the Convention in Article 102, I think, clearly stated that any state, anyone can stop the genocide, and not doing that, he will be considered as a partner in the crime. So I believe that fear, the action from the brave action from the South Africa with big thanks from Palestine, from Palestinian people to Mandela, the hero, and the South African government is very, very important. And now we are using the decision of the ICJ as a tool to advocate for the rights of the Palestinian civilians in the Gaza and West Bank. And of course, the case is not only Palestine, the case of the humanity. Yeah. Those who believe with the principle of the international law, the human rights law, those are the ones who believe with the international law. But the others who use the international law as what we call it, an excuse that, yeah, there is international. Now, I was in a workshop in the Human Rights Council. When I hear from the special representatives of the Secretary General of the United Nations or the committees, the Human Rights Committees, I told them, really, I was feeling that I'm in another world living. I felt that I'm flying and I'm enjoying all the rights, and people are on the ground feeling that they are protected. which kind of protection? A protection is only in theory. It's in the international law, in the human rights law, in but it is not in the ground. The children are not enjoying their rights accordingly. Why? Because there is no political will. The states who are leading the world now, led by the U.S., are unwilling. They are able. They can do it in 1 minute to stop all the genocide and the crime. But no, they are unwilling to do that. This is why we, what I call it, it's a complicit in the crime.
Yeah.
And being taking this decision, it means that impunity to the criminal, to the state Israel who behind the criminal, and then impunity led to the crimes that we are seeing in the ground. So why we are always stressing on the accountability? Because no accountability, then the crime there. So if there is accountability system in force, there will be no crime because they will hold accountable. And those who, if they believe that they will be held accountable, they will never do that. But since the international community closed their eyes, even support Israel with more arms and more diplomatic support, and the state of Israel is offering them a full immunity from any accountability. Well, all the killing that happened, Israel as an occupying power must protect the children, protect the civilians, in particular children, and open real investigations for each grave violation to the international law. They never did it. Who holds accountable for the killing of more than 15,000 children? No one. Even they have been awarded for from the Israeli defense minister called security minister, what's his name, Ben Gavir. Mm. They killed the child in East Jerusalem, 13 years old. And he awarded the soldier who killed him. He said that you did a good job.
You did the right thing.
So it's a message. It is a message to the other soldiers that keep killing. Mm. No one will ask you. This is the problem where we are now.
And it's clear to, I mean, it's videoed and it's documented. That's the other thing. But just, I suppose, the media here, Khaled, has been covering what's been happening in Gaza. There's lots of double standards. There's lots of misleading headlines and misinformation. But nonetheless, people are seeing what's happening in Gaza. Whether we agree with the reporting is another thing. But what they're not seeing is what your organisation has been documenting for years, which is the cases of children, individual children who have been killed or injured by Israel, not only in Gaza, and I'm speaking maybe specifically about the West Bank and other regions. Israel at the ICJ have always claimed that anything they're doing is self-defence, and previously they'll claim self-defence. But we have seen, and I have seen cases recently, since January there have been, the number was at 25 the other day, I'm not sure if that's increased, of individual cases of young boys being targeted, shot and killed in the West Bank. For nothing. I mean, they're saying one child was playing with fireworks and he posed a threat to the IDF. But I suppose with those cases, are they're separate in terms of what action might be taken in on an individual basis? What can be done for those cases and for their families where intentional lethal force has been used against the children who offer no threat to life or serious injury? Your organisation tells the stories of these children. If anybody wants to look at the your website, you will see a lot of these children's stories and their families' cases outlined. The ICC has often been charged with these investigations. How effective is bringing a case before the ICC, not the ICJ, so the ICC, in respect of these individual cases of children who've been killed?
Yes, first of all, we are documenting the grave violation against children in West Bank and including East Jerusalem and in Gaza. But the only war happened in Gaza started on the 7th of October. This is the first time we are unable to document because already our staff in Gaza is live in high risk. So he cannot leave the family, and he is moving from the family from place to place according to the Israeli restrictions. Wow. He moved in Gaza for maybe the seventh time. At the end, he was in Rafah just a few weeks, 2 weeks ago. He back to the middle, and His house was damaged in the north, bombed by the Israelis, so now they are living in a tent. So they are unable to wear. We managed at least to take some videos to show what we call it, stories from Gaza. So we showed some of them, and one of them still in my mind, I cannot forget her, is the case of Dunya. Dunya was in her house with the family, and they bombed their house by the Israeli warplanes. And she lost father, mother, brother, and she was alone, but her leg was cut off. So she was dreaming. We filmed her while she was in the hospital, and she was dreaming to travel, to have a new leg, and to study medicine, to become a doctor. You can see the in our website the videos. So unfortunately, after 1 week, while she was hospitalized in the hospital, Israeli airplane bombed the hospital, and a rocket hit her directly, and she was died. They killed her. They killed her dreams. They killed her future. So this is the situation in Gaza. Already we have no detailed documentation, but in the West Bank, we have the detailed documentation. From our documentation in the West Bank, I review all the time the documentation. I never find that there is any justification to kill a child, because there is many different means to get control of the child if he did something. Yeah. And you can shoot him in leg, you can warn him, you can. But they never do that. The last child, he was killed by, he was playing with fire game or something like that.
Yeah.
Which risk he caused to the children, to the soldiers to kill him. And yeah, then the family will pay the price. The family will be targeted also by the soldiers, and maybe they will demolish the house of the family.
Yeah, and I mean,
also a collective punishment for the family.
Yeah. And in that case, sorry to cut across you, they actually refused to release the body of that child to the family without giving any explanation. So their suffering just continues. You know, it's unimaginable.
Now more than 30 bodies of children killed by the Israeli soldiers, and they kept the body, and they refused to hand it over back to the family. What they are doing with the body, I don't know. Maybe they were using the organs, maybe they will miss, I don't know what it's they are
horrific.
Doing. So it's a punishment to the body. I cannot imagine, even if prisoners now, it is a system.
Yeah.
Because of this fascist government started, actually. If a Palestinian prisoner died inside the prison, if not killed, died by sick or something like this, they kept the body there.
Yeah.
So this is where. Anyway, there is different action can be taken. We approached the ICC. The ICC, it is the main role in this point for the ICC. I met with other human rights organizations, the prosecutor of the ICC, Mr. Khan. And unfortunately, then he keep talking. I told him, I'm a practical man. I'm not a diplomat. Direct to the point. Every 1 hour, 5 or 6 children killed. During my meeting with you, maybe 10 children killed. And you kept talking. We need an action. You are not fulfilling your job.
Yeah.
So since 2.5 years, you have the detailed documentation of what happened in, you are doing nothing. But in Ukraine, I'm happy that you act in Ukraine, but it was after 2 months, your staff was ready there, and you collected evidence, and you issued the warrant to arrest Putin, the president of Russia. I'm happy with that, but I would like to see it also in other places, not only in Russia. Should be globally, not for black and white. This is a problem. The second problem, I believe that still Israel may be supported by other states. Talk about self-defense. I am a human being, and I studied international law. Self-defense is something very, very important, and it is a right.
Yeah.
But to whom? To the occupying power? To occupy my land? To control myself and sit on my chest and beating me and asking and talking about self-defense. Which kind of self-defense to the occupying power? Each, in the history, each people who have been under occupation, they have the right to resist. Mm-hmm. to self defense, not the right to buying bombs.
Yeah.
And now I'm happy that South Africa also back to the court and asking for advisory opinion about the illegal occupation of the occupied Palestinian territory. And I'm sure the decision will be that it's illegal and to ask for stopping that. So for how long will we keep waiting? I don't know.
Yeah.
But how, I don't know, the answer will be in the Western States. Mm-hmm. How many victims you need to see in order to take an action?
Yeah.
I'm sure the hope is there. I am very much optimistic that we will get rid from this disaster and this genocide, mm-hmm. and they will hold accountable. But our role, your role, is to minimize the damage as much as you can while you are talking mm-hmm. about that and asking for accountability, and also to minimize the suffer of the people, to support the people in order to keep survival.
Yeah. And of course, people are saying things, I mean, Western media and the people that are kind of just becoming live to what's happening in the occupied territories through Gaza. You know, that Gaza has woken us up and Gaza has shown us what's been going on. But of course, for years, aside from the violence perpetrated against children resulting in their deaths and serious injury, we also have thousands of children who have been incarcerated, who have been arrested, detained and put in prison away from their families. And I mean, we're talking children, not even teenagers, or children as well, as young as 10, 11 years old. I mean, and that's something that's still going on. I read a report recently that raids on the West Bank have increased massively and children are being taken from their families and put in Israeli prisons. I mean, they're like a hostage situation. You know, it's very clear that that's is that something that you see that should be, well, it should be tackled, but will that has that been receiving the attention that it should? And has what's happening in Gaza maybe focused us in the Western world, whether it's media or governments or NGOs, on what's been happening with children in general, let alone what's been happening in Gaza?
The children in general, they are under attack. They are targeted by the Israelis. So we talked about Gaza and in particular about the right to life and the right to keep a survival. And in the West Bank, yes, the situation is not like Gaza, but the fundamental rights also are violated systematically by the Israeli soldiers. One of the violation is the prisoners issue. Mm. In the past, before 7th of October, I used to take the issue of the prisoners is less important than the case of the killing, because they will be released sooner or late. But they will manage that. But after the 7th of October, each child arrested was subject to different kind of torture and ill-treatment by the soldiers, without family visit, without lawyer visit. Even the lawyer to represent the children in the Israeli military court, the first month there was no court at all. Just they keep them in prison without any legal action. Later on, they allowed the lawyer to go to the court and to talk with his client through the video. And there is no privacy in this way, because already the child is not sitting in his house. The soldiers who are beside him, or the interrogators, or the police, so he never managed to express himself and say what he would like to say to the lawyer. And then there is no privacy. The new issue also, putting children under the age of 18 under what's called administrative detention. Mm-hmm. During the years of the occupation, more than 56 years, we used to face maybe every year 1 to 10 cases in maximum of administrative detention. Now, during the 5 months that passed since the 7th of October, more than 100 children were subject to administrative detention. Now, in the prison, more than 50 children under administrative detention, means that they are in prison. They don't know why. They don't know when they will be released. Neither the lawyer, the family, the children themselves. So, and if all, for all of that, there is no food enough,
yeah.
bad quality and quantity. subject every day to the humiliating, to be beaten. So just I'm watching the children and adults, actually, yeah. those who released recently, the minimum, they lost 20 kilograms from their weight, 10 kilograms, depend. So if we saw they show the picture, how he was and how before and after, it's unbelievable. Yes, and of course, Ben Gavir and those the fascist government are so happy that they are doing good job by killing the hope for the children by and killing the children and the adults. So it is a disaster, and it is very important to keep focus on that. Yeah. And I believe that we will manage at the end, but for how long, I don't know.
Can we also mention briefly, you were involved, your organization and others, other applicants were involved in a case against Biden, the Biden administration. And this was a really interesting case. I know I'd contacted you before the outcome of the case. We've moved on since. But how significant was, can you take us through maybe the outcome and maybe the significance of bringing that action against the Biden administration? Because, of course, it was done in the U.S.
Yes. This action, actually, we did it while we believe and we know the result in advance. But we take this action in order to show that the complicity of the international community, the state, and to try to check them that to wake up of what they are doing. And of course, since the international community failed to stop the genocide, so we start. And the international court, the ICC, did nothing on that. So we started to target or to use the universal jurisdiction according to the Convention Against Torture, against genocide, to put them to target them actually the leaders in order to take an action at least, if not at least. To support the public opinion who are all the time demonstrating and protesting against the genocide. In the U.S., I can say that even what we achieve is better than our expectation, actually. The judge was very much care about the case, and he was very much affected. He said it clearly that this is one of the most hard cases that I dealt in my life. And at the end, he confirmed that it's according to the decision of the ICJ that, yeah, genocide is in, but there is no jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the first part of that. And even that, now we are appealing the decision.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're appealing the decision. Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm happy also that other action, similar action happened in different places, like in Netherlands. Netherlands, the first court, rejected the case, but the appeal court accepted. And now, it's according to the Dutch law, the government are violating the law, and they are partnership in the genocide considered. So now a new case in Denmark, and another case in Canada. And there is a new initiative come. So it is a very interesting initiative, but we are doing the job of the state because there is no political will from the state. Then it is an initiative coming from those who believe the human rights with the humanity. And I believe this is my point is now there is two campaigns in the world, the colonization campaign and those who believe the humanity. So and at the end, I believe that we will win, and those who are now taking the actions and supporting the genocide, they will hold accountable. Tomorrow or after tomorrow, they will be subject to hold accountable.
Yeah, of course, those actions taken domestically, I think we will see an increase. And I know there was one taken in the UK, they lost it against the UK arming Israel. But of course, what it's doing, it's drawing attention to the fact that these states are aiding and abetting in genocide. And I hope to see some better outcomes as time goes along. So I suppose finally, Khaled, what would you say to listeners or anybody listening today? How can, I mean, there's obviously we're talking about the US here, and without them ceasing their support in this aggression, we feel a bit lost. We feel a bit useless. But even speaking to you, the legal community who primarily listen to this podcast, what more can we do? What action can be taken, do you think, small or large, to contribute to the effort to stop this genocide?
My message to those who believe in the humanity, with the human rights, with the human being. My message is not for those who are complicit in the crimes. Already they are criminals, and I have nothing to say to them. Mm. And they will hold accountable for their crimes. But those who believe in the humanity, I urge them to participate in any action to work to stop the genocide. Any contribution from everyone, I believe that it will be contributed to create the change. Myself, I'm here and everywhere. I know that I'm not changing, but at least with my efforts, your efforts and others, I believe that there will be another issue is also we are in this way, you are pushing those who are in a position to do something and they are not doing that. We push them to do that in order to wake up their conscience, in order to do the job, to consider those who are in Gaza, not as a Palestinian, they are a human being, and to consider them like their children, their families. So how we imagine to see families are eliminated from the civil code, from the life, why? Without doing anything, why? So we have to be side to keep the fight for the to stop the genocide, to stop the killing, to stop the occupation, and to look for a world without violence, without occupation, without colonization.
Well, Khaled Guzmar, thank you so much for giving up your time and joining me today. It's been an absolute privilege to speak to you. It's very difficult for me to talk about. I can't imagine the work that you're doing. I don't know how you do it, and your colleagues. You do a fantastic job. And please, anybody listening in, to check out the website for Defence for Children International Palestine. You will see so much there in terms of the documented work that you and your colleagues have been doing for years, for decades. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thanks everyone for joining me today. If you like the show, please remember to share and leave a review if you have a moment. And you can also check out our website, www.activistlawyer.com, where you will see some blog articles written by our guests and contributors, as well as some fabulous activist lawyer merchandise.
This podcast was recorded in Granite Podcast Studio. Interested in starting up your own podcast but don't know how? Granite Podcast Studio can help. Record your podcast in our state-of-the-art studio, which is based in the heart of Newry City. Our studio has cutting-edge and user-friendly technology and can seat up to 4 people. We also provide an editing service for our team, using your guidance and editing notes to provide you with a flawless finished product, leaving your listeners wanting more. For more information on how you can get started, visit www.granitepodcaststudio.com.